Last year, at about this time, I was commissioned to write a string quartet by Pacific Serenades, a chamber music series in Los Angeles headed up by Mark Carlson. This remarkable organization commissions a new work for nearly each concert it gives. Mine was their 56th commission. The premiere took place last month in Los Angeles at three different venues, and the recording I'll play for you tonight was made at the second of these concerts, which took place at the Neighborhood Church in Pasadena. The players are Miwaka Watanabe and Connie Kupka, violins, Roland Cato, viola, and David Speltz, cello. The first movement of my string quartet begins very quietly, but actively. All the players are in muted pizzicato. The material is fugal in character with two themes, one pizzicato and one bowed. These themes and the two elements which they contain, the fifths that form the cello's opening material and a motive consisting of two quick sforzandos, form the building blocks from which the movement is derived. By the end of the fugal exposition, all the instruments are bowing with full voice. The music changes to a peasant dance. Following that, the viola introduces a long melody. Later, a fragment of that melody evolves into a happy staccato theme in which Prokofiev was whispering in my ear, as he often does. All of these themes come and go and become transformed for the rest of the movement, which ends with each player in turn receding to a muted pizzicato. The second movement, which I entitled Pacific Serenade to honor the commissioner, is a serenade in the sense of a song sung to a loved one. But the Pacific Ocean as love object is not always easy. Mystery and aggression lie in its belly, and these qualities find their way into the music as well. Also, there's a little hidden quote, which I'm sure you'll hear. The third movement uses as its tonal material a 23-note scale spanning just over three octaves. The scale itself is heard only twice in its entirety, its clearest statement occurring in the closing measures of the piece. Formally, the movement is ABA, with the material progressing rather than repeating in the second A section. The B section of this last movement explores the idea of three instruments enclosing the fourth. With the first violin as protagonist, the other three instruments form a solid background, which at first cradles but eventually cages the violin's increasingly restless spirit. It finally breaks free, chased by the others as they all run down the aforementioned scale. And reconciliation and remembrance and high spirits bring the movement to a close. All of that tells you a little about the structure and materials of that piece, but in terms of process, of how the initial material develops in one's mind, I thought I'd share with you an experience I had as I was working on the first movement of this quartet. I was on summer hiatus from my teaching responsibilities and could spend my days composing, practicing, and walking along the Pacific shore. And another thing I could do was to catch up on all the science articles in the New York Times, which I love to read but rarely have time to read during the rest of the year. In one of these articles, the writer quoted from a 1986 essay by Walter Gilbert of Harvard, writing about the concept of an RNA world. This idea is that in the beginning, there were no proteins, no DNA, just that third component of cells, ribonucleic acid, and that, listen to this, the RNA molecules evolve in self-replicating patterns using recombination and mutation to explore new functions and to adapt new niches. And I thought, that is exactly it. That's what I do, what any composer does. That sentence truly describes the mental work of writing a piece. And a fascinating task it is. I hope these recombinations and mutations of which the world is made and music is made will fall happily onto your ears and into your hearts.